For those of you who know, how empty was it last week? Was it a good empty? We were all getting touched by the Holy Spirit last week, a whole bunch of us guys. We went to a men's encounter, and I think over the next few weeks, I'd like to have a few of the guys come up and just relay a simple thing. It doesn't have to be crazy that they experience. So if you want to give Josh Bailey the mic first, I want to just to have Josh share. I told him keep it short because I'm going to preach for a really long time today. And, either way, we'll see how long we get. But anyway, Josh, I mean, real quick before I do this, next year, everybody, just please come with us. You think it's scary? You won't after you hear these guys, what they had to say. Their lives were transformed forever in a good way. And we sang this song, Goodbye Yesterday, I'm Never Going Back to That Old Me. When God does a work in you, it's never something. He does take things away from you, but you never look back and say, oh, I wish I had those things still. Ever. Only for your good. Ever. Now, you might not think, you can't, typically when God does a work in us, we don't even imagine what our life would be like without these things. And when he takes it away, you're like, oh, this is what it means to really live. Like, that's usually what happens. Anyway, Josh, go ahead. Share just one thing.
One thing.
Because I told Josh, Josh called me. Yeah, he called me, and he's like, what am I supposed to say? Like, I could say this, I could say this, I could say this, I could say this. I'm like, no. I'm preaching. You're just sharing one thing that God
did. But I mean,
did.
I was one of the one out of the 99.
You were.
They would be really good.
No. Yeah, he has 99 things to share. He's only allowed to share one, so.
Man, it's hard, though, to explain anything. I guess one of the things I'm going to go based off of is, you know, Nate wasn't lying when he says you encounter God there. I truly encountered God there. It was absolutely amazing. There was a lot of things we went through. But I remember one specific moment that I definitely encountered God with was we were in the middle of worship. And I don't know why, but I felt like I needed to get out of the chairs and get on my knees and just cry and pray to the Lord, and I felt his presence. I felt God touching my hands while my hands were in the air, just worshiping and praising to him. And that's how I knew 100% he was real. And I get one thing, but I'm going to go for two. me and my dad, actually, we kindled our love and, you know, our connection again out there. We had a lot of things we needed to take off, and God chiseled away at them and took them away. And me and my dad's connection and bond is, I can't wait to see what God does with it, honestly. So,
amen.
Yeah. That's what I got before I go on.
Here we go. God is good. And if you want to sit down and talk to Josh, he'll probably tell you for an hour what God did. And I limited him dramatically and just said, Just give him something little. Don't spoil it for everybody else who will come next year and who will be changed. All right, let's pray, and then we'll dive into the word today. Lord, we do thank you for being with us while we meet together. And Lord, there's nothing like your presence. There's nothing like your voice. Lord, don't let it be me speaking to these people. Lord, speak through me. Prophesy to them, Lord. Call something out new in them. Give them a vision of life that they've never imagined they could live, and give them the power to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I was supposed to preach a few weeks back. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah.
Some of you? Supposed to preach a few weeks back. I'm going to go through a little bit of a story. I actually am going to preach today the message I was going to preach, but there's no way I'm actually going to do it, so it's going to have to be two parts. I don't even know how much we're going to get done today. We might get almost none. But that's okay. We all like all of our lives together. So I was going to preach a few weeks back. I was going to preach this message, and I woke up on Saturday morning, the day before I was supposed to preach, with like the most sick I've ever been. And it hit me like a blast. And it was the most weird sickness I've ever encountered. I had a sickness. I woke up and one side of my throat was so decayed and disgusting. I don't even know how to describe it. It was pussing. It was swollen. It was unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it. But it was so crazy that it was like a dividing line in my throat. On the right side, nothing. Clear as day. Left side, like a zombie. I would have put a picture up, but we're eating after this. You're welcome. I don't know what it was. And I remember, how many of you have ever gotten hit with something and the first thing you do is say, "Why, God?" You guys relate with this? Why, God? Are you trying to teach me something? Are you guys with me? Was I disobeying you somehow? Was I not supposed to preach? Are you guys seeing this train of thought that we often get hit with first? So I spent all Saturday in that mode of thinking, "Why, God? What did I do this time?" By the way, I'm trying to teach this to you that that's not what's going to be the answer. He's not teaching me anything, okay? But what I'm saying is we throw our own pity party. We're like, "Oh, God's got to be teaching me something, right? I probably was going to preach something that he didn't want me to preach," or whatever it was. This is going to be an amazing story. As you guys know, whenever I preach, it's like you guys got to follow everything because we're going somewhere. I don't even know, but we're going to arrive. And so I remember it wasn't until Sunday morning that after my pity party of all day Saturday, it's got to be my fault somehow, that the Lord told me, or at least I felt him really say, "Nate, I didn't do this. You are under attack. Gird up." And you guys know some of my testimony. I've been called to ministry. Many of you have been ministered to by the Lord in these last few months. Things are happening. And the devil would like nothing more than to intimidate and silence you. I couldn't speak for 2 days. It was in so much excruciating pain. Couldn't speak to almost 3 days. And it was kind of like this, there was an attack of the enemy, truly. And you have to know as the attack. So right now I have a cough drop in my mouth. I have a cold right now. I don't blame the devil for every cold I get. Sometimes my kid sneezes on me. And it's just like, okay, I deal with a cold. That's fine. But whatever that was not natural. It was different. It was an attack. And it took me a while to come to this point. See, I'm so long-winded, that's why we never go anywhere. I haven't even started yet. I still have more to go. So I started to fight against it that day. Little did I know that Ashley had texted her friends and was like, "Nate really needs prayer. He's really sick." And I was really sick. And in the most pain I've ever been in a weird way. It's not like I had a sore throat. Excruciating pain. Some people are like, "Well, are you feeling under the weather?" I'm like, "I'm feeling under the weather right now." I was not then. There was something else. Anyway, okay. So then the Lord gave a vision. I find this out as I'm fighting back against this sickness. He started speaking to Janelle Barda. And whenever she read Ashley's text to her, my wife's text to her, immediately she kind of got taken away into a little bit of a vision of me. And she said that there was like a black, like gargoyle looking thing with talons gripping my throat. That's what she saw. So she immediately knew, I got to stand against this thing, right? Like this is, we're going to fight. Like there's somebody trying to steal something from the body of Christ, from me. And so she started to fight, but she felt like, now here's where the sermon starts. She felt like the Lord told her to bring me some fancy, expensive tea that she was really looking forward to drinking herself. Are you with me? So she has this tea, and she's arguing with God, she tells me. "Can I just bring him a cup of the tea? Do I have to bring the whole thing of the tea?" You guys ever been here with the Lord? Like, how much is obedience? Is it all, or is it, can I keep some back for me, right? That's what we do when we obey. And she ended up getting gripped and saying, "All right, Lord, I'll do it." Nothing in it for her. Are you guys with me? Nothing in it for her. Only for my good. And she was also told, she believes, to write a note and describe what she'd just been through in the testimony. She was supposed to write me like a letter describing some things. And so she randomly texts Ashley and says, can I bring Nate something? And we were like, okay, this is amazing. Thank you. Like we didn't know what was going on with her. We just saw the good deed, the act of kindness. That's what we saw. We didn't know anything else. She was supposed to write this letter and describe to me the spiritual warfare that she believed I was under, but she actually chickened out on the letter. How many of you guys know what I'm saying? Chickened out. I will bring the tea, but I don't want him to think I'm weird. Are you guys following me? I'll bring the tea. I don't want to be weird, though. I think it's time to get a little weird. You guys know I've been preaching this, right? Time to get a little bit weird. Don't go too weird. Like, we're not bringing snakes out. We're not handling snakes in service just yet. But I think it's time to bring the tea and write the letter. And I've been learning in this. I'm going to preach this. This is a total broad brush overview of what's going on, of what I believe is a prophetic story for our church, which is that every time you offer anything to God, it almost always, like 90% of the time, is designed to feed somebody else. And I want you to follow along with this. And in fact, that's the whole point of the sermon. The Lord, every act of obedience that you walk in is not designed for you. It's actually designed to feed somebody else. And I think we can go into scripture and find this. I'm not going to be able to preach the whole thing. I've only got like 20 minutes. So we're going to do this in two Sundays. But the idea is, and it's when you obey, there's two forms of food. There's physical food. There's bringing the tea. And there's spiritual life. There's writing the letter. It's not complete obedience until you're willing to do both. Okay. So put that bookmark there. And remember that every time you offer anything to God, your obedience to God is almost always going to involve somebody else. That's where the test is. Because we're okay dealing with God. It's whenever he tells us to go deal with these people. That's when our obedience is tested. Are you guys following me? We like to go in our own little private time and read God's word, or maybe we don't. It doesn't really matter. I'm just saying, that's okay. I can pray by myself. I can do this by myself. It's like we like to live there in our own little world, and the Lord says, if you're going to obey me, you're going to have to go out, and you're going to bring the tea and write the letter. It's not for you. So let's keep going. We're going to, if you have your Bible, you can turn to Romans chapter 12. We're just going to read verse 1, actually. We'll see how far we get today. That's all I can say. So, in Romans chapter 12, I'm going to read this and we're going to talk about it. Many people know this verse. I'm reading out of the New King James. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you, which is, this is Paul talking, I urge you, I beg you, this is what he's saying, I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So let's talk about this for a second. He's actually saying your life is the sacrifice now. Follow along with me as we go through this. So first off, he uses the word therefore to start off. When you see a therefore in scripture, what are you supposed to do? Yeah, figure out what the therefore is there for. So every time you see a therefore, you got to go backwards and say, in light of everything I've said up to this point, do this. Are you guys with me? So if you just read this verse, you're like, I don't get it. Whatever. Like, sure, I'll be a living sacrifice. You have no idea what it means or why. You have to go back and read Romans chapters 1 through 11. So let's turn to Romans chapter 1 and we'll read through the... No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that. But that's what you actually have to do to understand this. So I'm going to give you the Nate paraphrase really fast of Romans chapters 1 through 11. It starts off by saying, all of the world is evil and wicked, every one of you, no matter how good you think you are. He's saying everybody is rebellious, has been rebellious, is sinful. There's different levels of it, Jew or Gentile, people of God, people who were raised in church, people who weren't raised in churches. Everybody has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody has sinned, but God has made a way for sinners to be redeemed and to be reconciled to God. And it doesn't have anything to do with you. He did it himself. Are you with me? He did it himself. You were dead in your sins and helpless. until he did something. This is an amazing word. And in Romans chapter 5, it's the most beautiful picture of the gospel, really, in all of Scripture, you could argue, when Paul makes the argument and says, hey, God's love is really what was revealed when he crushed his son. You guys with me? His love for you was revealed in this. And he describes this. He says, some of you might be willing to die for a good person. I felt like whenever I was going to preach this, I was like, there's actually a lot of you who've been ministered to by Phil for many years. If somebody walked in here with a gun, we would be jumping in front of Phil to save his life. Would we not? We would. Why? He's a good man. But which one of us, when people turn the pistol on that guy, are jumping in front of that guy to save his life? Are you guys with me? Nobody. We'll die for the good guy. We ain't dying for the bad guy. But how did Christ show his love for us? While we were yet sinners. While we were still evil in our hearts. While we were only selfish. He took the bullet. He took the bullet for you. And he's like, there can be no greater love than this. There can be none. Dying for good, maybe we could imagine. Dying for evil, no, we can't imagine. It's literally love. It's reckless, as we sang about. Reckless. Taking the bullet for evil people. And he says, so then he goes, so that was my paraphrase of Romans, right? You guys with me? And then he goes into a whole bunch of other stuff, which is all really great. Romans 1 through 11, really great. And he says, therefore, let me point it back to you in another way. What would be reasonable for you to do, people, in light of what happened? Are you guys with me? He says it's your reasonable service to God is to offer yourself your life as a living sacrifice. But he's saying, what would be reasonable? You tell me. You make your case for what's reasonable after what Jesus did. And he says the only logical conclusion, all of our brain power, all of our rationality, is that to give him everything. Just lift him up on high. What he did for you can never be repaid. And it's not like you even have to repay it. You just give, you just like, yes, whatever you say, whatever you do, I'll do it. Period. No questions asked. And he says it's logical, it's rational, it's reasonable. And that was Romans 1 through 11. Now, when I was reading this, this whole idea of becoming a sacrifice, it means, we've talked about this, your life has to stop being all about you. It has to stop being all about you. To be a sacrifice means you have to die. The you that has been all about you has to offer yourself so that you can be used by him. Are you with me? I wish I had a whole bunch more time. How many of you, how long are we allowed to go here, you know? That's okay. We got food. And everyone's going to be mad if the food's cold. So he says it's reasonable that you offer yourself, that you die to yourself. This is what I'm trying to say. In fact, that's what baptism means. Do you guys understand this? Baptism is prophetic. You go into the water, you're dead. You get raised to new life. It's prophetic. It's supposed to be revealing. So when I was reading this, the Lord brought me to John chapter 12. So we can turn there if you want to John chapter 12. And in verse 23, it was a teaching. I was imagining this, like, what does it mean to really offer yourself as a sacrifice? And the Lord brought me to John chapter 12 and verse 23, where Jesus is talking to his disciples. And he says, well, let's just read it. John chapter 12, verse 23, he says, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. How is he going to be glorified, by the way? On the cross. A lot of people think he's glorified when he is raised from the dead, but that's not what John talks about. It's what he will be lifted on high on the cross. And that's how he's lifted up. That's how the Son of God would be lifted up on high. That's how he would be worshipped, is through his death. It's amazing. Now, we'll talk about it later, but the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it will produce much fruit. Okay? He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, who here wants to serve him? Five or six? I'm just kidding. We got a couple in the back. Those are my boys from Encounter. They're ready to die for anybody here. Now, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. Where? Where is he going? To the cross. To offer himself. For who? Everybody else. Who are you to offer your life for? You say it's for him, but an offering unto God is never designed just for him. It's always designed to feed the people. We're not going to get all the way there today. We'll get back there. I'll flesh out even more later. But listen to this. So he says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. Where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. And then he just goes on from there and talks about his death on the cross and how he's going to be lifted up. And when I read this, I got kind of a vision. And this is the whole purpose of this message, of what I believe is the prophetic. I keep on talking about all these visions I have. I don't have visions all the time. I'm just bringing up to you guys the only ones I ever have. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not just like, I'm not that weird. But the snakes are coming soon, okay? It's like, when I read this, well, first of all, let me say this. He's talking about unless a seed is planted in the ground and dies, it will never bear fruit. That's what his life was. That's also what you would do. Until you're willing to lay down your life, you're not going to bear much fruit. Are you guys with me? When it's all about you, you won't bear much fruit. But then the Lord told me, in this visionary thing, I was like, let's pretend that our life is, we can all imagine an apple tree. So we'll do apple trees instead of grains of wheat. I don't even know how grains of wheat work. So I know how apples work. So let's do that. We're going to plant an apple seed. It grows. Whenever the apple tree starts to produce fruit, who is the fruit for? The apple tree doesn't eat the apples. The apples are meant for other people. It doesn't feed itself. It has food that nobody else sees. Do you see what I'm saying? We see the fruit, and it's always being given to other people. It's being given to the creatures, to us. The fruit of your life is meant to be offered for other people, to lift them up. How is it possible then to be fed? You have to have food that nobody else knows about, which we're going to read that in a second too. And this is very broad brush. We're going to get very practical in another message, but I just want to paint the picture that the fruit of your life is not meant for you. When God does something in you, sure, you'll be blessed by it, but it's immediately supposed to go out and go perform good for somebody else, lift somebody else up, bring the tea and write the note. So we'll talk about this. Obedience always is for other people. It's love. So anyway, okay. So I got this vision of a church of what we ought to be in this moment. I really felt it was very, very prophetic for us. That it's time for us to bear more fruit. Can you guys come with me into this? It's time for us to put ourselves in the ground and start bearing fruit. It's time for us to die to all of our own selfishness. Greed and pride and stubbornness, awkwardness, self-consciousness. It's time to start bearing some fruit. And who's going to eat it? Not you. Well, yes, us. We will eat each other's fruit. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? We all die together. We all bear a lot of fruit. And we are all in unity provided for through the sacrifices of each other. We join together. Okay, this is the reality. The unity of the people of God. So I guess what I'm saying is I had this image of that we would die to ourselves, we plant ourselves in the ground, and the image was this tree planted by the waters, which is a very biblical image, very biblical image, a tree planted by the waters that, you know, this would have been a message that I should have prepared notes for, you know? Just kidding. But a tree planted by the waters that in all seasons we bear fruit. That's the idea. In fact, we talked about this reckless love. We talked about this radical life. The idea is that people should be curious when they look at you how it's possible to live the way that you're living. That's actually the call of God. People are called to look at, this is the life of Jesus. How is it possible to live the way that they're living. And the only way, our answer to them has to be, we have food that you don't know about yet. We have food you don't know about. All the fruit of your life, you're so radically loving, so radically generous, that people are curious how it's even possible. Do you guys remember the disciples talking to Jesus all the time about this? In fact, let's turn there, and then I'm going to finish the prophecy. Let's go to John chapter 4, where he says this. John chapter 4, verse 31. It says, in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. How is it possible for you to be doing these things and not be hungry yet, Jesus? Please eat. And Jesus says, he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore, his disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Who's trying to win brownie points with Jesus here, you suckers? Who's gaining ground with Jesus? Who's getting into his good graces? Which one of you that secretly gave him food to eat? The disciple says, anyone brought him anything to eat? And he looked at them and said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Some of you are going to be like, Nate, what does this mean? He says, my food is obedience to God. And we'll keep going. He says, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for there are already white for harvest. He who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. And we'll stop there. But what I'm saying is, it's like... Our calling is to be so radically in love with the Lord and so radically in love with people that people are like, how is it possible that every time I mean to you, you respond with love? You guys with me? It's weird. It's weirding me out that I can't get under your skin. Are you with me? I can't do it. The world is trying to get under. I can't do it. And it's like every time I'm sick, this guy shows up and gives me tea, gives me food. When does he ever think about himself? And all you can say is, I have food that you don't know about. My food is through the will of my Father. And it's so I guess what I'm saying is some of you are like, well, give me something practical, Nate. And my only advice is, did Jesus give anything practical to the disciples of how to do this? He just said, do it, and you will find out what I mean. And I remember in these last few months, when the Lord has really transformed my life, I remember I've been in just studying his word, spending time with him more than I ever have before. And I remember just crying to him. And I literally would, for the first time in my life, I would say, Lord, I would give anything if you would just keep talking to me. Anything. It is my food. I would go 40 days without food if it meant you would keep talking to me. Anything. And you'd say, and so you look at what Jesus is saying, and it's like, well, how, if I am so radically generous, how is God gonna prepare for me and provide for me? I'm like, he just simply says, try me. Do it and see. There is no practical advice I can give, or I'll try later on, but it's almost like better for you to wrestle with it yourself. Jesus did not give you the details on purpose when he says your life is to be so radically giving that people are going to wonder how you do it. I remember, Tevis, if I can put you on the spot for a second too, I remember just a story in your life where you said this about us. Do you remember this when you were moving into your home? Tevis was moving into his home, first time he was moving out, and he was moving into this home. He didn't have much in the way of like furnishings and nothing really. And we got together as a church, a lot of the leadership, a lot of the people on the worship team and everything, and we created a sign-up sheet, and we all bought things for him. We all gave what we had. We furnished his house. To us, it felt like nothing. It felt like, we just love you. But what did it feel like to you? It felt like everything. And that's what you said. Didn't know what to say. Didn't know what to do. It says, who are you people? Who? I've never met people like this. This is what we should be saying of us. I've never met people like you. This is what Jesus did. It's like everyone looked at him and like, we've never met anyone like you. We sing songs to him. There is nobody like you. Because there isn't. No, there's nobody like him. And there should be no one like us. Like, that's the idea. So radical. So desperate for the love of God to be seen by people that people would have to look at us and be like, what is up with these people? They're so giving. All the fruit of their life is being given out. When are they ever going to be selfish? Are you guys with me? When are they ever going to take their fruit and hide it for themselves and think inward? You know, if when you start doing that, your fruit will spoil. Your fruit will spoil in your hands, but it will bring life to those people around you. We have to start getting food to eat that nobody knows about. And that has to be your time with the Lord. It is your life. It's the only thing. To walk in the radical life of following Jesus, you can't do it unless you're eating of him, of his life, eating of his words. Are you guys with me? That's the only way it's going to work. Otherwise, you will immediately quit because it is impossible to live like the way the Lord has asked us to live. So anyway, back to my prophecy, and we'll wind it down, or not prophecy, or just the image I have for us, is that we would be like a tree planted by the water, bearing much fruit, but the fruit is not meant for you to eat. It's time to start sharing it with the world around you. And the reality is, I really felt like God wanted to strongly push upon you that you, whenever you're going to go bear fruit, you've got to be willing to bring the tea and write the letter. You've got to do both. You got to stop leaning towards one or the other that makes you most comfortable and go into the one that's less comfortable. For sometimes, it's actually easier for me to just give somebody something physically than it is for me to pour into their life and speak words of life. Other times, maybe it's easier for me to pray but not do anything. Are you guys following me? But the Lord says to do both. Jesus was the perfect union of physical and spiritual. He was fully God, fully man. And he says, as you minister, you have to do both yourself. You have to minister to people's physical needs and their spiritual needs. I'm going to talk more about this in another sermon, I think, when we have more time. But the idea would be that Jesus says that he is the Word of God. And he also says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I am the bread from God. The words I speak are life. Not just theoretically, but legitimately, it is your power to fulfill what he's telling you to do, is in his words. You are now told to speak the words of life. So that's really what I wanted to mention to us as a church, and we'll seal it with this, that not only would we be willing to, and by the way, I was going to preach this message, and Janelle, I feel like, played it out so perfectly, what I was trying to say in this vision, or in this image. And she did end up writing me the letter, by the way. I asked for it, even though initially she chickened out. But the idea was, you have to stop being so afraid of speaking life to people. You got to get over yourself. The time is short. As Jesus says, I don't have time to eat. That's what he's saying. The fields are ripe for harvest. I'm going to do what the Lord tells me to do, whether or not I eat or don't. This is his life. And that I would say that for us, it's time for us to get involved with people and love them. And for some of us, one way is going to be easier than the other, but the idea is the fruit on the tree has to be both physical. Like, you actually do have to do something to love somebody. You can't just say it, man, but you also have to say it. So it's like it's the both and life of the believer. You have to bring the tea and the note. I that's all I can say. You have to prophetically speak life into people. And so that's really what I wanted us to say, is that we would be more and more willing to not only give people physical food in abundance, but spiritual food. Physical food just means the things you need to survive. It doesn't, I mean, whether it's food or whether it's just your presence with people, all of that's desperately needed. But you also have to start speaking words of life into them. Prophesy over them. Some of you are like, that sounds like a scary thing to do. It's not. Love somebody in word and deed. Are you guys with me? In both. Do it. It's time to start producing fruit. How do you get there? Well, you can't until you put yourself in the ground. You got to put yourself in the ground. A seed cannot bear fruit until it dies in the ground. And when your life is no longer all about you, it's actually easy to bear fruit. You want to bear fruit. You live to bear fruit. It's not even difficult. Like, does a tree have to groan and strain to pop an apple out? It's like, no, it doesn't. It just comes because it's planted by the water. And it's receiving, by the way, it's an amazing image. It's receiving its food from the sun. It's what it's doing. And nobody knows how it's happening. Well, we do now. But like back then, they didn't have any idea what's going on. They just know this tree must have, for it to produce that fruit, it's got to be eating something. And we just don't know what it is. That's the idea, is the world needs to be so like astonished at us as to how we can live our life this way. And your only response is, well, I've got food you don't know about. I'm living for another world. I'm living for a different, that you don't even know yet. So let me give you a taste of it. I will bring to you a taste of this other world that you don't see by how I love and by what I say. By how I live and what I say. Some of you like to live it, but your words are still not. Are you guys with me? The words are tearing people down still. We got to flip that around. Words of life build up. You use your tongue to speak life. And then you give life as well. And now you're like Jesus to the world. Are we good? I'm going to talk more about this in another week. I don't know when I'm going to preach again, but it's going to be really good. And we're going to close down today. And I'm going to pray. Why doesn't everybody just stand with me? I'm looking, I guess, I'm gonna phrase it like this. I'm looking for volunteers who say, today I would like to put myself in the ground. And today is the day that I decide to stop living for myself. I want to bear more fruit. Lord, I need you to feed me so that I can feed the people around me. Help me die to myself so that by my life, other people might see you and live. That the words I speak and the works of my hands would bless you, O Lord. Are you guys, who would volunteer for this? Let's raise your hand. Who says, Lord, I would like to use, I volunteer for this. I offer myself as an offering. Freely do I give it because of what you've done in me. Are you guys with me? Let's do this. Let's commit our ways to the Lord. God, you see us, Lord. We humble ourselves before you, Lord. Help us produce the fruit that you have called us to produce. Lord, turn our eyes away from ourselves and turn it upon this dark, hurting, suffering world that so desperately needs love and light. Let it shine forth from our lives, that people would walk by the tree of our life and they would be hungry and famished, and they would be able to eat of the fruit of our life and be satisfied and give you praise. Let our life glorify and honor you and not ourselves. Lord, help us walk in this. Give us food that the world doesn't understand and that they don't know about, which is your word, Lord. Obedience to your word. We will do what you say when you say it. Lord, help us produce much fruit and let us guide the hurting people, the suffering people around us to you.